I'm going to go over the verse again, because this is quite relevant to modern day, right? Dear King, just as a tree with a fire burning in the hollow
of the trunk
gradually dries up,
we
are drying up due to the fire of hunger in our stomach. You are the protector of surrendered souls. You have been appointed to give employment to us. Therefore, we have all come to you for protection. You are not only a king, but an incarnation of God as well. Indeed, you are the king of all kings. You can give us all kinds of occupational engagement. For you are the master of our livelihood. Therefore, O King, of all kings, please arrange to satisfy our hunger by the proper distribution of foodstuffs, food grains. Please take care of us, for lest we soon die for want of food. Purport by His Divine Grace, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It's the duty of a king to see that everyone in the social orders, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra, is fully employed in the state. Just as the duty of a Brahman to elect a proper king, it's the duty of a king to see that all the Varnas, Brahmins, Kshatriya, Vaishyas, and Sudra, are fully engaged in their respective occupational duties. And it's here indicated that although the people were allowed to perform their duties, they were unemployed. Although they were not lazy, they could not produce sufficient food to satisfy their hunger. When the people are perplexed in this way, they should approach the head of the government, and the president or king should take immediate action to mitigate the distresses of the people. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shavakaya
Akshuram Vaitanena Tasmai Shri Gurave Maha
Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutar Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dari Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitasta Pancha Kalpa Dubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Kripanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaha. So, you see here there's quite a few words for food grains. At least two. Right? Anam. And at the end there's another one. Urja. So, it's just an interesting comment that when they translated the Bible into English, the word meat in English just generally meant eating. Didn't refer to any specific kind of food. So you'll find that word meat so many times in the English Bible. And therefore people think that the Bible says you have to eat meat. Now when you say meat, it means animal flesh. Once in a while they say the sweet meat, we say that, but no one else says that anymore. One time I bought some strawberry yogurt in Japan and I was looking at the label and it had the meat. And I panicked and then I said, that's the strawberry meat, they call it. But in ordinary talk, meat now, anybody says meat, they mean the flesh of animals. So it's interesting that in spite of so many so-called new translations of the Bible, they never fix that. In fact, I saw one once that had, every time it said meat, it was in bold print. you know. So because there's a lot of eating in the Bible, it's a social history, you know, it really sounds like that. So people are bewildered. One time when I was in Israel, and I had the Bible on my computer. So I looked up meat, and then I found a verse that had meat. Then they looked in the Hebrew Bible. But it never said the flesh of animals. Many different words are there, but it said they had some bread, they had breakfast, they had dinner, they had meat, they had fruit, like that. Many different words. So when Prabhupada is translating, sometimes no one can understand how he got the word that he uses. But when devotees went to very, very advanced Sanskrit scholars, they would say, yes, this is a very, you know, very esoteric translation, but it's the right one. And Prabhupada was so learned. So this is relevant. I just saw one article. I'm going to publish it. Prabhupada wrote in his early Back to Godhead, which is like before 1965, maybe in the 50s, what's wrong with the world? And it just like we read the newspaper now, you know, the same thing. There's disasters, there's wars, there's the food prices are going up. It's nothing new. But somehow or other, everyone thinks it's new. It never happened before. Birth, death, disease, old age. But it does seem to be getting more and more intense. And we can't tell for sure if that's just because of the communication nowadays, that every little earthquake in the world, the whole rest of the world knows about it right away, right? Previously, no one knew except the local people, unless it was like, you know, huge Mount Vesuvius or something, you know. Like there was one volcano, Krakatoa, in Indonesia, and they could hear it in New York. The sound was so loud, it went all the way around the world, crashed, and then went back again. And it blew up and burned. The wind was blowing like, you know, around the world. So once in a while, but nowadays, the smallest little war, anything, everybody knows. It's on television everywhere. People in the villages of Tibet, you know, in the Buddhist monastery, they see it. Everybody knows everything. But it does seem to be getting worse also because that's Kali Yuga. So the Bhagavatam describes it, you know, people will be running away from the cities for hunger. And they'll just have to live on wild berries or something and maybe meat in the forest because things get so bad. The Kali brings everyone into the city, but the city doesn't produce any food, just money, right? And they think, like Japan, they thought, we don't have to worry about growing food because we'll just export all our technology and we'll buy them. Did that. Hare Krishna, Radha Govinda. And food is available there everywhere. Very expensive. But now they're importing 60% and they're getting worried because the price is going up and up and all the other countries that were producing food are doing the same thing. Right? Africa, Thailand. They're also becoming technological and building factories. And all the young boys are working in the factory and they're not producing the food anymore. They think we can buy from someone else. But where are you going to buy it from, right? So here, this particular Leela is that Mother Earth was not happy with the people because they weren't doing any yajna. So she was withholding the grains. They weren't growing. So similar things are happening now. They say that the rice production is going way down and then the price is going up and everything is wrong, Kali Yuga, because there's no yajna. People are doing almost more and more sinful activities. And these natural disasters, in the description of the birth of Hiranyakasipu and Hiranyaksha, there were earthquakes and volcanoes and storms and hurricanes and floods and all these things were happening. Actually, all over the universe became dark in the daytime. And it says that that's due to demons taking birth. So more demons are taking birth because it's a nice place for them. Lots of chance to exploit the people. People are mad after sense gratification, so the demons can do good business, selling, intoxication, casino. What's that casino ad at the airport? Expect a great time or something. There's one ad in, when we drive away from the temple in Durban. It looks like an ad for a church. It's very bright looking and from a distance, a big board up on a hill. And it says, expect a miracle. But it's casino. It's advertising. Because it's a miracle if you win. But you have to be thinking, I'm going to win. Otherwise nobody will go there. But nobody wins. Even the winners don't win, but most people don't win anything. A few people win, but they lose it all. Krishna takes it all away very quickly. So here they're approaching the government, which is happening, I don't know, not in this country, but some parts of Africa, people are rioting because of the price went up so much of food. They can't afford to buy grains. But so they have to approach the government. And then you see the news, governments are trying to do something. You know, the governments are trying to get more young people to be farmers. Governments are trying to, you know, do something. But at the same time, they're promoting all these sinful activities, licensing casinos and slaughterhouses. And even India, there's so many slaughterhouses. And when the British first went to India, the one guy declared that in order to conquer India, we have to kill the cows. Because he saw that the cow is so important for fertilizer, for milk, for jagya. So we have to stop that, just like Hiranyakashipu. So the British opened many slaughterhouses. And then when they left, India was in really bad shape because they didn't have enough cows anymore. And they didn't have the natural fertilizer. And then they had to buy chemical fertilizer from England. Good business, right? And so this king is different because he's actually Prithu Maharaj and he's actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he tells the earth, I don't need you. If you don't give the grains up, then I'm going to destroy the earth. They make a deal that comes later because she begs him for mercy, and he says even though the people are sinful, they have to be fed. So that's Krishna. He takes care of everyone. So sometimes pious people get bewildered because they see the very sinful people are very rich. India is suffering because of that. They, you know, everybody basically learned as Hindus that you shouldn't kill the cow. But then they saw, they think India is poor, but America is so rich and they're killing cows like anything. So maybe we should kill cows also. Sounds like good business. So now they're doing that. So we need to think about this. Tapta, suffering, like a tree gets burned sometimes in the middle. Sometimes a very big tree can live. But if it gets too much burned, it can be standing up, but it can't get any nourishment. So they're burning up because the stomach is on fire. Healthy people, when they get hungry, it's burning. And if they don't eat, maybe most of you get that way. I never do, but it hurts, right? And if they don't eat, they'll actually get a hole in their stomach. It'll burn right through. They have to eat. So they're burning up. They're not getting enough food. So they're begging the king to help them. And they realize this king is actually the Supreme Lord. So he can help them. Even modern governments that are not even pious, but they try, you know, to provide food for the people. Sometimes, though, they make a trick and they say there isn't enough food and they raise all the prices and all of a sudden there's plenty. Right? Same thing with the petrol. Of course, the petrol, Prabhupada told us over and over again, if you listen to his lectures, I remember, this oil thing is going to finish. It will run out. This boom, boom, automobile civilization cannot last. And nobody believed the oil is flowing everywhere. They're finding more every day. Right? But now they say it's peaked, and from now on production will go down and down. Price will go up and up. And your salaries don't keep up with the increase in price, and people are not very peaceful. At the same time, Maya is convincing everyone that they need more and more things. Unnecessary things, anarthas. I saw the billboard last time I was here for the MasterCard or something. Now you can buy everything you ever wanted, right? If you have a job, the bank will give you this card. And you can go to the shop and everybody smiles. And they don't realize they have to pay, and if they don't pay on time, they have to pay a big interest, very big. So people get more and more in debt. Then they have to work harder at any kind of a job just to get money. So they'll work in the hellish factories 12 hours a day. Right? People are working in rich countries. In Japan, people work in those factories 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, and then they switch. They have to work nighttime 1 week, daytime the next week. And they live in a dormitory or something, and they spend all their money gambling, almost all. Just go gambling, that's all they can think of, you know. The gambling place in Japan is also very noisy. It's a machine, and they make so much noise if you go in there, you can't think. So it's like the factory is very noisy also. And then they just throw away the money, thinking maybe I'll win. And sometimes they win, get a few $100. They immediately spend it on drinking. Sudra. The government promotes that kind of thing. So that's the problem. So we need to go to Krishna. And if we really do yajna, that will help everybody. But the real yajna in this age is the Mahayajna, the Sankirtan yajna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Srivas is telling me how they're planning to go daily now for Harinam. So this is the auspicious thing. It's very simple, but it purifies us and purifies everyone. Not only the people that see us, but all around. It attracts people. People go home talking about the Hare Krishna. They say Hare Krishna. And you see our Shastra Prabhu, when he went to Mayapur, he thought he could maintain that business he had here and be in India at the same time, but couldn't do it. You know, the cousin here couldn't handle it, and he couldn't go back and forth every week and sail so down. So he was getting down to, like, didn't know what to do, because you don't live for free in Mayapur as a grihastha, you have to pay. His children have to go to school, you have to pay for the house, you have to pay for food. So he just started going on Harinam around the temple. And sometimes he got a few people to go with him. And he just kept doing it. More people joined him, they started going in the villages. Then the temple got enlivened, they started to provide khichdi to give out. And then they gave him a job, you know, in the administration. And he gets donations, because many devotees come to Mayapur, of course, from all over the world. And when they see, now the Harinam, maybe 30 people go every day during the festival, and many. And a few Africans are there full time, his children are there. And people give donations. So just by dedicating, you know, surrendering to the Harinam, didn't have anything else, no other hope. There's no job there in Mayapur, no work. You know, you can't do business, foreigner. I mean, you can if you have a lot of money to invest. The big companies from America can go to India or Africa, but they have to invest millions of dollars. But Krishna provide everything. So he'll do that for any devotee who really dedicates to this, distributing the holy name. And of course, prasadam, if we can do that, that's ideal. Prabhupada said, wherever there is Harinam, then ideally there should also be prasadam distribution. That makes it much better. And books. people go for it. And I go many countries in the world, and everywhere the people love the Harinam, people start dancing. People join in. Doesn't matter where you go. The soul is part of Krishna. Even if they have no idea what it is, you know, they're naturally attracted to the holy name. In India, of course, people respond very much because they know it. But in Africa, they're very good. We were in Ivory Coast and went in the village, and many people started dancing, little children were chanting. At least they gather around and watch. They like it. They take books. They're asking us for books. So that's the jagya, and the jagya is what has to be done. Anad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anasambhava. Krishna says that the food grains come from rain. Of course, you need rain to grow rice, to grow anything, right? Pineapples grow with little rain, but they need a little bit. Millet grows without much rain. But you always need some rain. And rain comes from yajna. So we have to do the yajna. And in this age, the yajna is the Mahayajna. Yajna Sankirtana Praya. Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. Lord Chaitanya did the yajna Sankirtan, and those with a good brain, they join in. And they realize this is nothing better. Say you're out dancing and chanting in this town and you die. Right? Would that be nice? I would be happy. If I'm in good consciousness, I pray, let me die at least sometime on Harinam. Maybe not this time. At least let me, it would be very auspicious. Everybody would be happy to hear that. And you'd go immediately, but Lord Chaitanya would take you right out. No stopover, right? No immigration, nothing. Lord Chaitanya just take you right to the Goloka Kirtan party. So that you can't be doing anything better than chanting, right? As far as perfecting your life. And that's what we're supposed to be here for, perfecting our life to go back to Godhead. And then Krishna will provide. Of course, householders, you work, but Krishna will provide good business if you utilize the prophets for yajna, either yourself doing the yajna or supporting those who do it. That you get the same benefit. A person who is supporting the brahmachari, supporting the sankirtan devotees, the preachers, even though he may be busy with his work, he gets the same spiritual benefit. He may not experience the same nectar. The work may not be quite so pleasant. Sometimes duty, like Yamaraj, we were reading about Yamaraj in Ivory Coast, Vidura. So Yamaraj is very busy, demigod. It's not a relishable job, just having all the sinful people come and hearing about all their sinful activities and deciding which hell they have to go to. Some people, pious people, come also, and they go to heaven. But it's not nectar. It's not like, reading Bhagavatam or Harinam Sankirtan or doing deity worship or something. But it's his duty. He's doing it for Krishna, so he's relishing it. But he got a break. He got to come and be Vidura and just concentrate on it. He took sannyas and traveled all over the world. So the demigods, like Indra, he's in charge of the rain. So like the residents of Vrindavan, they were doing yajna for Indra. But Krishna told them, no, just worship Govardhan Hill. And Indra got mad. Because Indra is very attached to his position and people worshiping him. So he attacked Vrindavan. He didn't realize, who Krishna was. That how can this little boy be God? He knew Vishnu, but he couldn't think how that can little boy, coward boy, dancing in the forest, can be the Supreme Lord. But that's Indra. This King Prithu. Later, Indra got his position because he did 99 or 100 Ashwamedha Yajna. And then King Prithu was doing Ashwamedha Yajna. Only big king can do that. Very costly. And he got up to one more to go to beat Indra, or to be the same as Indra. So Indra got worried that he would lose his job, you know, this Prithu would surpass him. So he disguised himself as a sannyasi, and he would come and he would steal the horse from the yajna before they could do the yajna. He did that a few times, and they would chase after him. And he wouldn't let the yajna go on. So it said that he established the ashram of false sannyasi. Now there's many. They just dress up like a priest, not only a sannyasi, but priest of any religion. And they just make money in that dress. Because people naturally are religious. It's a natural. We see even the communist countries where they try to suppress religion, they can't do it. People want to be religious. You can't help it. It's natural. But people don't know, so they can be cheated. Someone dresses up like a priest and just tells people, I'm God, just worship me. They don't believe it. So finally, Vishnu had to come and cool it down. Can't tell Indra not to worry. But that's Indra. He's so worried about his position. He's a devotee, but he's not a pure devotee. He's mixed. He's doing that service because of the awards he gets. He's a devotee, though, but so I can't condemn him, but it's mixed. You know, he's the king of heaven. He lives very luxuriously. He has so many dancing girls. So he's worried about losing. Sometimes he loses it anyway. If he gets puffed up, the demons defeat him. And different people become Indra and different Manus. And the Indra this time becomes something else. They switch around. It's all described in the sixth canto. Bali Maharaj, you know, becomes Indra later on, one of the Manus. After defeating Indra, being defeated again, being sent to the hellish planet, he eventually becomes Indra also. But the pure devotee just wants to serve Krishna. There's many stories. Indra tried to, when that Narayan Rishi, that's Krishna and Arjuna, they're in the Himalaya and they're doing great tapasya. They're showing, you know, how to do tapasya. Starting from the Satya Yuga. Even Narada Muni went there to learn from them. So Indra got worried that they're doing so much tapasya that he might lose his position. So he sent the beautiful dancing girls and men also. And he thought that they would become agitated and fall down for sex. That's how he usually tries to stop the yogis. Sends the beautiful dancing girls. And then the yogi, like Vishwamrita, they get attracted and they forget their tapasya. And then by falling into lust, they lose all the benefit. So that Narayan Rishi is Krishna, you know, Narayan. So he watched these girls dancing and he was laughing. And then from his body came out many, much more beautiful girls. Much better ones. And then this man Apsara is also, they became really embarrassed and they realized, you know, what they were doing. And then Narayan just laughed and Indra came even. Or he told them anyway, he said, you can choose any one of these girls and give to Indra. He likes the girls, you know. So that one was Urvasi. Now Urvasi is the topmost dancing girl in Indra's thing. So they chose her, and then Narayana is still there meditating. So Indra failed, but he got a beautiful girl out of it. So when someone is attached to those things, but he's serving Krishna, he may get money, even power, may get, you know, something, but he won't get Krishna. He won't get the real nectar. We won't get that really nectar of the holy name until we want nothing else. And then even one may get position and fame and opulences. But if he realizes this is all Krishna's mercy, I'm just a servant of Krishna, and he has to deal with all that. You know, if we get a big temple, then you have to take care of the temple for Krishna. It's not like easy thing, right? Not like you just enjoy the temple. You got to take care of it. If you get a nice car, to take care of it. It won't last forever, especially if you don't take care of it. So Krishna will give to a devotee anything, but the devotee shouldn't want anything. He should just want to serve Krishna, and then whatever service Krishna gives is good. Food will come. A few years ago, the fuel prices jumped up here. Right? Big jump, right? And Shastra, he was crying, and I said, well, Krishna's trying to tell us to grow our own food. Prabhupada told us again and again. I've been looking it up. I finally looked it up. Agriculture and produce your own, and then I find it a lot. You have to get the right words, you know. The Prabhupada is saying, produce your own food and solve all economic problems. And it's something we're not doing anywhere in the world, and even that now we're realizing that we haven't really caught up on that instruction. Prabhupada talked at the last few months of his life so much about Varnashram. So finally, Abhiram Prabhu, we asked Prabhupada, what do you mean by Varnashram? Because there's a lot of discussion. Most, we get hung up about who's a Brahmana, who's a Kshatriya, who's a leader, who's the worker, right? Who's big, who's small? Because that's part of Varnashram, but that's not what Prabhupada was talking about. That will happen automatically when there's Krishna consciousness. People will do what they feel like they are good at, what they like to do. He said, I will go to Gita Nagari. Some of our Ghanaian devotees went there. And they actually, someone sent them to organic farming school and everything. But then nothing happened. You know, Maya is very strong. He said, I will go to Gita Nagari, and I will stay there, and I will teach them to live off the land. That's what he meant. Agriculture, farming. He said that is the most noble occupation of the Grihastha. But we've been trained, I know myself, in school, in the television shows. The farmer was always a stupid guy, a joke, you know, ho, ho, ho. And everywhere's like that now. You know, get off the farm, you know, get a degree in engineering. Get into something, you know, get out, right? Get in the city. Go to school, get an IT, get a job, go to America. So farming is going down, although they're making technology to seemingly produce more and more food off the same land. It's not working. The quality of the food goes down, down, down. So we need to think about that. I know Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, at least when I first met him, when he was spending a lot of time in Africa, he was promoting the work in Africa, and he was talking so much about the cottage industries and the farm, and things were getting started. But like everywhere else, something happened, right? He built a big temple, or everybody got married, have to struggle, whatever. You know, farming is, you eat what you grow, you know. So, you know, sometimes you have one thing most of the time, one kind of vegetable. You can't just go to the market and get whatever you want. But people become happy. I saw yesterday, every 15 minutes we were chanting, one truck full of corn would come. And everybody run, 30 women. I thought, wow, they should, too bad, I thought they're not running to see us, you know. But maybe if we had enough prasadam, they would. And somehow they all took it off the truck in a few minutes, and I don't know how, they must be really honest, because somehow everybody gets paid, right? You know, everybody's dragging big bags and dumping it out, and, you know, obviously there was no change of money at that time. Then they go through it, they pick out the good ones, and, you know, they're really fired up for food, right? Corn. corn is it now is sometimes there's nothing but corn, right? And Prabhupada liked that, you know, that corn you burn on the fire. When I joined, they always said Prabhupada said corn is for pigs and it's not, it's animal food. I don't know, I never know where he said that, but in Indonesia, one of the Matajis, she was a young girl then, about 16 years old, 15 years old. But somehow she was a new devotee and she went with Prabhupada every morning and, you know, she was with all the time. So they were on a morning walk and he saw the corn and he said, is that for sale? She said, yes. And Prabhupada said, do you know how to cook it on the fire with turmeric, tamarind? And she said, yes, Prabhupada. So he bought a lot. And she said to make it for all the devotees. And she had to cook it on the stove, you know. She didn't have, and she didn't have the everything. But Prabhupada ate it. He liked it. He gave to everybody. So now when I see that, because in Africa, Indonesia, all down the street you see that, you know. So I used to get lusty and think maybe I should get one. Now I just remember that Prabhupada liked it. But you can remember that if you make corn. You can make it like that. In India, it's kind of, it's a street food like here also, you know, in the market and the beach and stuff, they're selling that. It's not at home so much, but it's a nice food. So we have land here, around here even. So if anybody, many of you know farming, grow food, utilize all the, every inch. Wherever there's land, you know, make some way to grow food. You have the cow dung, cow urine also. We're not saving that, but that's also really good. That's the insecticide. That's what they said about India. There was more cows than people in Bengal before the British came. And they produced a lot of food, exporting. So they had the cow urine, they somehow make insecticide, and the cow dung is the best fertilizer. Mixed with the human dung is even better. But all that thing's going to waste now. And then they make chemical fertilizer, and they throw away the cow dung and pollute the water. And so if we can somehow or other get back to that, then we can live outside of the grid, they call it. You don't have to depend on the other, you know, food coming from Thailand, right? See how Maya has done. It, now in Ghana, how much rice is growing in Ghana, right? Mm-hmm. Very little. They're a little bit promoting it, but that Shukla said the government is not supporting the rice farmers really, so they can't, it's not profitable to grow rice. Chocolate is profitable, right? Cocoa. That goes to Europe. And the farmer gets a little money. Somebody gets big money, but and then the farmer has to buy rice from Thailand, from Vietnam. So you're paying more for the transportation than for the rice. The bigger part of the cost is the transportation. It has to go from Thailand, where they grow it inland. They have to drive it to the ship. Then they have to ship it here, and they have to drive it, and you're paying for all that fuel, not for the rice, right? So this is Maya. All over the world is going on. Europe, before, people didn't eat much rice. Now they eat a lot of rice. They have to import it. China, and or northern China, Japan, Thailand, they didn't eat very much bread, wheat. It doesn't grow there, but now they do. But they have to import it. Everything is... We used to go to the big market in Tokyo. You wouldn't believe that market. It's a big airport. They throw away every day 16 tons of food. It goes bad. And that's just nothing. Small part. And so we would go through that whole place, and a lot of people give donations, mostly if they have something. Sometimes they have too much or something. Sometimes it's getting old. But you can fill up the van again and again. But we couldn't use it. We used to sell it, but they stopped us. So, but I would see the boxes. from South America, from South Africa, from Ghana, from China, from everywhere in the world, the stuff is coming. Some from Japan, but mostly from everywhere in the world, and that's just the fruit and vegetables. The wheat also is coming from everywhere. The food to feed the cows that they eat comes from another country. One woman in England, she's a pig farmer and a reporter, so she said how so many farmers have to quit because they feed the pig some kind of food they buy. And she thought that the whatever it's made out of different grains and stuff, it comes from 7 different countries. You know, some company somewhere gathers together soybeans and wheat and rice and this and that, and then they make it all into something and ship it out again. So the pigs, so that you can, the people can eat the pig meat, you know, which is not very healthy. But this is the Kali Yuga, how he's done. And Prabhupada didn't give us all this information. He just kept saying, grow your own. Produce your own food. Make communities outside of the cities, because the cities are going to become more and more uninhabitable. Right? Even if you're rich in the city, then you have to have razor wire. If you would have started the razor wire business, you know, if you would have invested $10 in razor wire, right, when it first started, you would be so rich now. Because everywhere in the world, even Vrindavan, I went to one devotee's house, and a big pile of razor wire was there, new, to keep the monkeys out there. But, you know, here, the house is down the road, razor wire, electric wire. If you have money, you need all that. And you still have to breathe the air. You can have, you know, Rolls-Royce car, but you have to drive in the traffic. Right? If you want to go somewhere, there's no special road for you. Right? They haven't built one high up above road that the rich man can drive in his nice car and go quickly. Some cities have done that, but they get crowded too. You pay and then you can go up above. Like Bangkok, they built above the whole city highway. You pay $1, it's cheaper because your car doesn't wear out, you know, and you get there quick. Otherwise, and breathing all that air and the dirty stuff getting in your engine. So it doesn't matter, you know, how much money you have. If you live in the city, you have to put up with all the thieves. You know, if you have a nice car also, right? Then you have to be worried about the thieves. But if you have a little bit older car, people don't worry. So we need to think about that. You can all, I hope, when you go to Benin, and try to remember how Bhakti Tirthamraj, you know, was very concerned about these things and tried to establish very much in Africa. Many circumstances came that make, you know, relatively seem like good reasons. Economies crashed, there was wars, all kinds of things happened to disturb the progress of those things. Some devotees now are starting to. One devotee in Benin, he's retiring from his work and he's living on the farmland now and farming. You know, these things are starting to happen. The Sringa Purana says he's farming. I hope so. Hope somebody will go and help him. Young boys. It's not a degraded occupation like, you know, we're trained to think. It's the most important. Everybody wants to eat, but then they want to think we don't need farmers. But farmers, nobody's going to eat without farming. Somewhere there has to be a farmer, right? Or a fisherman, or, you know, pulling the fish out of the sea. And now I heard China is investing so much money in Ghana. Russia invested so much in India because India was producing so much nice food and Russia was so inefficient, so they wanted their food from India. India was exporting so much cashew nuts and things like that to Russia Then they would get one jet plane or something, one submarine. So the Chinese fishing boats are all around Ghana now. They'll take all the fish and there won't be any fish for the Ghana people. Somebody got some money though, selling the rights, you know, right? So this is Kali Yuga, and these things are not new. When the electricity comes, I'll get that letter out from my computer that Prabhupada wrote. What's wrong with the world? Exactly the same. It reads exactly like you would write right now. It's no different. Governments are corrupt, but it is increasing. There are more and more casinos everywhere. Wherever there's gambling, there's much more drunkenness, much more prostitution, much more murder, all kinds of crime. Wherever there's a casino in the world, and crime of all kinds around increases. And the governments know that, but they say, well, we have to pay the price. Because people don't want to pay their taxes. The casino is taxed very heavily, but the people happily give their money. Whiskey is also taxed very heavily, but people happily buy it. Cigarettes, taxed very heavily. Then they can make a show of reducing some other tax and get elected. As soon as they get elected, they have to always be afraid of who's going to get my position, who's going to get the votes. They had that campaign in America, they just criticize each other all the time. Promised a few things, I'll make things better, I'll change everything. But nothing ever changes. Unless somebody would come in and actually promote Krishna consciousness, promote kirtan, promote vegetarianism, but so far that's not happening. So do the yajna and try to, if you have a little land even in front of your house, grow something, even if it's this big. You can grow a lot if you use cow dung. Use your own dung also. You can grow so much, 10 times more concentrated. Organic. So, and if we have, there's different plots of land around here, different devotees that aren't even here own, right? Somebody should be farming. Otherwise, someone else will take it anyway, if we don't use it. So we've had in the world many attempts at farm projects, many of them we lost everything. Gita Nagari has a big land, but they're not farming. Even the neighbors are saying, why don't you farm? The neighbors are farming, and it's only one family, but they farm big land because it's their only source of life. And that's prime farmland of America. Very, some of the best in America. There's a group of people there, the Amish. They're religious, traditional religious Christian group, and they came, must have been 200-300 years ago. They still live almost the same. They dress the same, they wear the black long dress and hat. They don't have any cars, they use horse, no tractors, they use horses. The average family is 7 people. 5 children. They all have a big house. They don't have any telephone, no electricity. They have some businesses. They make like machines that don't need electricity. So in the business, they have a little bit of electricity. They have telephone in the office, but it's very restricted, and no house has telephone. No house has electricity. Their children go to the school, but about 13 years old, they take them out. They used to take them out 8 years old, but the government said they have to go longer now. 8th grade, take out. And they have, now they're getting very rich because of their organic milk and organic, they've never put chemicals on their land. And other people, even if they want to grow, the land is already ruined from the chemicals. And America farmland is noted for being the most productive farmland per acre, and it's due to the expert use of chemicals. But these people have the most productive farmland in America, but they've never used any chemicals. They're using their dung, horses and probably sheep and their own also. And they're farming with the horse and the machine behind the horse. They build machines, but we have some we bought from them in the early days of Deenagari. They're getting more and more rich, and they're growing because they have so many children. So they're buying more land in other places. But their main place is right around Deenagari. You saw them? Weird looking people. But they're simple people. They go shopping in the same department store. They drive with their horse. And the children go in, but they don't buy all the Nintendos and everything. You know, they just get what they need. They don't get caught up in the fashion. They go to school, but they wear their... But they do have one thing. When their children are, 16, 17, something, they let them do whatever they want. So some of them go, they become drunkard, they do everything. They say most of them come back. They get tired of that and they come back and live with the community. But they have community. For us to give up electricity and telephones and everything that we're addicted to is very hard. They never had it. When the telephone was invented, their elder people thought, no good, you know, this will ruin us. They were intelligent, so they didn't have it. They never got it. So. Prabhupada, you know, wanted us, and it may be someday we have to live like this. He was telling us we should learn to make oil from beans and get light and all these things, you know. No one ever did it. Now they have a farm in India, the Chopati people, and I heard the first rule is no electricity.
Yes.
Yeah. So a few people go in there. We'll see, hopefully it'll develop. It's in India, it should be a better chance. But India is getting surrounded by all the madness. Because American and different countries are building big factories in the Indian countryside. And they think that's progress. Mm-hmm. And people get a job in the factory. And then they have to buy food from China, import it. So please think about it. Krishna is the supreme controller. When Krishna is pleased, everything else comes. And when Krishna is not pleased, when we don't do the yajna, then no matter how hard we work, and how we won't get anything. We'll get the basics always Krishna provides, you see, for everyone, mad people. Everyone gets something, right? But we won't get ecstasy, we won't get happy. But if we do the yajna, then whatever else we do will go very nicely. And whether you get rich or not, you'll be happy. Whether you're poor, whether you're rich, whether you're sick, whether you're healthy, be happy. People that are praying, oh, give me good health, you know. You can't do that. That's not what Krishna gives blessing. Give me bhakti, Krishna says. Give me service. Sometimes bad health is a benediction. It makes people realize they're not their body. You know, makes people realize they're not the doer. You know, become helpless. Become happy. Cancer, there's one doctor that deals with cancer, and he teaches the patients to meditate and all kinds of things. And he said, he calls it outstanding cancer patients. Many people, their whole life changes when they get cancer. Even karmas, they become very, all of a sudden they change their whole outlook on life. And one of my god sisters that I just met in Vrindavan, she's had a rough life in many ways. And now she has cancer. I'm going to die, so I want to get. I'm going to get something done now. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to die anyway. You know, no one can hurt me. I can, you know, I'm going to die. I can't. No one can threaten me now. So, because we're all going to die, but we don't always realize it. And when we know for sure, okay, you've got 2 weeks or 1 month. We don't. That can't be guaranteed either. But while we're living, let's do it for Krishna. Stick to this determination, have the Harinam. Books are almost coming. I'm just telling Srivast Prabhu. Just need a little money, not much to bring up for this part of Africa. And if you're just desperate to distribute books, you can go to Togo or Ivory Coast. They have so many books. People want them. We went on Harinam and I was all upset because I saw only a few books. And who's in charge? And then when we got back, I looked in the van and there was two big bags of books, that they didn't bring out. They're heavy. So we brought them out, and in about 15 minutes they were gone. People, give me one. Wow, Krishna's good. People want. Fortunately there they got the benediction of so many books for free, but then they're not distributed. Then they think, oh, I'll run out if I distribute. No. If you distribute Krishna, you get more Krishna. If you distribute prasadam, you'll get more bhoga. It'll just come. Can't help it. If you just eat it all and then go home and sleep and watch television, then it'll be hard to get the next bag of rice. But if you go out and distribute it to somebody and you offer to Krishna first and you distribute, then you'll come back and there'll always be more. Everything. There'll always be enough money. Now I was thinking it seems more like we don't connect food with rain very much. Right? Money. Right? But money comes from yajna also. And rain also. We have to do it. Now the rain is all wrong. It doesn't rain for a long time. Then it rains too much and it kills all the crops. So the crops are not being produced properly either. And no one can, no scientific arrangement can adjust that. It is due to the fact that there's so much sinful activity and there's very little yajna. We're doing topmost yajna by chanting, even chanting in the temple. But when we go out and chant, it's a much bigger yajna. That's what Haridas Thakur meant when he said loud chanting. He didn't mean that you have to have an amplifier that breaks everybody's head. But other living entities besides you hear it. It's loud. It's outside where there's lots of people. And they hear it. And the more we do that, that yajna is pleasing to Krishna and everything will come from that. So the whole movement was trying to promote that more and more and more. And many devotees are realizing. I asked Pavitra if he was doing Harinam when he does food for life. He said he didn't have a mridanga. I said, you don't need a mridanga. You can chant with nothing. It's nice if you have 100 people and amplifiers and mridanga and cartels. Sometimes that scares people. If it's a small party, people feel more comfortable to come around and see what you're doing. Right? But all we need is the holy name. The other things, if you have them, great, but if you don't have them, do it anyway. Krishna will provide. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna very much. Sorry I went too long, but nothing else to do, right? Yesterday was nice yajna for the village. Children especially like it. And they'll remember. So it's always good to think, if we do Harinam, try to bring some kind of prasadam. If the children, I don't know here, but in Ivory Coast, no problem. In Nigeria, people are uptight about taking food. Where is it like that? They're happy. This village knows that they're not scared. We try to give everybody prasadam, then they become, even if it's very small, and they remember. And if we have some kind of flyer with the holy name on it, it's better, at least a sign. But we had no amplifier yesterday, but it was very loud. We had a few loud voices. People could hear from far away. Some people followed us all the way back. So please continue that. Everywhere we go, we try to do more and more Harinam. It helps everything. Makes people purified, makes people like us. Makes us happy, us purified. Chanting the holy name. Topmost, nothing better. If you're chanting in Lord Chaitanya's party, what could be better than that? What could be more important? Our mind is thinking, I should be here, I should be there. What am I going to do tomorrow? But you're in the right place. If you die, then you don't have to worry about what you're going to do tomorrow. You'll be back to Godhead and just chanting all the time. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Prithu Maharaj ki jai. Shri Radha Govinda ki jai.